Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were on the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes, which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is not the initial meeting of Jesus and Peter. This is subsequent to the initial calling, the point at which Peter determines to forsake all. So Jesus uses the surroundings as a way to create a sort of an amphitheater, speaking out over the water, so that he can put some distance between him and the crowds. Because the crowds would press on him. What's he saying? And so naturally, they try to get closer and closer. And pretty soon, he's mobbed. And then no one can hear because the words can't penetrate that many bodies. So in order to put a physical barrier between him and the people, he would go out in a ship. And that way they couldn't get to where he was. And therefore they would sit, then they could spread out on the shore and then all could hear him. As many as possible. Nice thing about a shoreline also is that it slopes a lot of times and the people can sit along the shore and in a good location, many will be able to hear. And Luke doesn't record here what it was Jesus was saying, but rather the event of the draught of fishes. I mean, Peter, at the seeing of this miracle, just as he was the first of the apostles when Jesus asked, Who do you say that I am? Peter was the one who stepped forward first and said, You are the Christ. And so here when he sees it, he says, Depart from me. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not a man worthy to be in your presence. And that is really how we all come to God. We come to God as ones who are undeserving of his attention, undeserving of his favor, undeserving of his patience. And we come to God in that state of utter wretchedness, as Peter sees himself before the Messiah at that draught of fishes. I mean, it was just it was too much. It was ridiculous. You know, it was just too much fish, way too much fish. It isn't just like they got a big catch. Their ships are sinking with the fishes. There's so many. As the heart of beasts can be turned into the net, so the hearts of men can be turned to God. Men are like fishes. They want to go their own way, to follow after their own desires, to, you know, let's look for some food here. Wandering about the pond, wandering about the lake with no particular aim. But God can direct them all into one place and at one time and give them as one mind. And so God could do with men. So that the spirit of the times can draw men in to do one thing. Whether it be to hear the testimony of Christ, to hear the testimony of the apostles, or whether it be to gather together into a crowd to yell, Crucify him. And so it is subsequent to this event that Peter forsakes all. When Messiah stood before him, he was ready to give it all up. To leave his home, his wife, his nets, his boats, everything. To be part of what Christ was doing. To be part of the kingdom of God. So we also at that call. They need to be ready to forsake all. Obviously, they're going to say, well, why don't you just forsake all right now? Well, there's times and there's seasons for everything. And there has to be a calling. Remember, Jesus was there. Right now, Jesus is in me. And for the time being, I don't have to forsake my family to follow him. He was actually going to physically walk from place to place in the land of Israel to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And really the only way you could be part of that was to follow him physically. You know, and I do believe there's a time when God can call us to do that again. But it's not necessarily today. Though for some people it may be today. There's a time to build, a time to tear down. There's a time to mourn and a time to rejoice. And everything is beautiful in its season. On one hand, Jesus would say, that we ought to forsake. It's also true that a man who does not take care of his own has denied the faith and is worse than a heathen man. So how do you judge when you ought to do this and when you ought not? That's why we need the Spirit of God, to be able to judge these things. Because there are contradictory things in the Scriptures. Jesus will tell you to do one thing and tell you to do another thing. Like there's a passage where he says, and we're going to get it in this book, where earlier he says, don't take a sword. And later on he says, if you don't have a sword, buy one. So there's a time to take a sword. There's a time to get rid of swords. There are times to forsake all for the kingdom of heaven's sake in faith. See, you're doing it in faith. Not after a wicked heart of, I don't want to take care of my family. I just want to be a servant of God. No, no. Whenever I say in faith, I mean that God has given you something that you can place your faith in, that you should be doing what you're doing. And if that's not clear, it will become more clear as we study Luke, because there are more passages that have to do with this. In fact, I'm already thinking ahead in this chapter, there's something we're going to touch on with the, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? So Jesus makes the same point. And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them.